Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Adrian Puren is the acting executive director at the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. Good morning, Professor. How are you doing?
All right. Good morning. Thanks. I appreciate that.
So what is your December song? If you have to think about December and, you know, obviously it could be anything you hear at a mall, anything that takes you back, what is the sound for you of this time of year?
Oh, I think I've been muting quite a while.
The sound of silence. Absolutely.
To the great silence, yes. But I'm sure Descant's, in terms of the carols, I think in particular, brings back memories, I'm sure.
Okay.
The drama around first light.
Absolutely, absolutely beautiful. And then, of course, the other side to this time of year, which actually makes it meaningful. Professor Adrian Puren, let's talk about what is going on in terms of vaccine hesitancy. So yesterday on my show, wow, I received a tremendous amount of messages, almost quite aggressive about, and I wouldn't say that's hesitancy, I would say that's combative against vaccines and mandates. We were talking about that. How do we, I would imagine that that's a small group of people, even though they're fairly vocal. The majority of people that haven't been vaccinated, from everything I've read, are just more hesitant. How do we deal with, would you agree with that? And how do we deal with that?
Yes, I think I would agree that there's a spectrum, in other words, and there's obviously a core group of people who have particular philosophical or religious ideas that and or link to some sort of conspiracy theories around vaccines, but I think that that's probably not the majority. I think the majority is on that spectrum of people being hesitant around what is this vaccine about in terms of pain, side effects, and so on. To more, you know, will this really protect me? You know, so I think there's a range of things. And I think that the approaches that I understand that needs to be adopted are trying to target those particular areas in order to provide the necessary information. I think that's really going to be critical, especially as we now go into the fourth wave or resurgence, again, to reassure people that the vaccines are safe, that they will have levels of protection that are critical, especially in the older age groups, and that, you know, you will have breakthrough infections, but that these should be mild versus, and therefore protect you against more severe disease. I think it's targeting people in different ways in order to get them to be vaccinated. But I think it's really going to be difficult, I think, because again, I don't think adults have been, it's like the wearing of masks, you know, it's really taken us a long while, and I think we still struggle with people trying to wear masks, wear them correctly at all times. So it's a whole almost cultural change, that I think needs to occur. I think if we had, let's say, an influenza vaccine program, you know, that has been running for several years, that was accessible in terms of large numbers. Perhaps that whole culture may be different, but as you know, our vaccine campaigns for influenza are fairly small, because of the numbers of vaccines that are available. So again, yeah, it's almost like preaching to the converted in some ways, right, around that. Now it's trying to change that whole culture and mindset, I think. It becomes really critical.
Do you think that,
and difficult.
Do you think that mandating certain, and when we speak about mandates, we're not speaking about forcing people to get vaccinated, but not allowing people into certain areas, who aren't vaccinated. In other words, schools, education facilities, sports stadiums, you know, work environments. Do you think that will help?
I think that it's part of it, Howard. I don't think it's going to be the entire answer until, you know, people really take those mandates seriously. And I think that obviously there will be challenges to that, but I think it will play a role, a significant role. But I think, again, if you're going to introduce those mandates, you need to know what you're going to do with people who are going to be vaccinated. So if, for example, if you're in a frontline position, I'm sorry to use that word, but if you're in a frontline position and you do not wish to vaccinate, will you then be moved elsewhere in your company or, you know, institution? and or do you then lose your position? You know, so these things really need to be thought through quite carefully in terms of what you do under those particular circumstances.
I see that Discovery yesterday announced that they are at 95% of their workforce having taken the shot. And before that, so that's what they said was that before they announced that 22% of its more than 10,000 employees were inoculated. Now, I don't know if that's how accurate. I mean, it's obviously accurate because those are the numbers, but we don't know necessarily if everybody was eligible at that point either. But what they are saying was that 22% of their more than 10,000 employees back in September, early September, had received vaccination. Then they made it mandatory, and now 95% of them are.
Yes. Yes, I think it will play a certainly a contributory role, I think, yes. But I mean, that's in the particular settings, I think. Yeah. Mm. You know, what's going to happen in the more broader, general population where that, you know, you can't, in terms of mandates, you know, what are you going to prevent?
Well, what are you policing? Exactly. What are you preventing people from doing? Here, it's a very specific environment that you're preventing people from going into an office or working. For that particular company. But if somebody's unemployed living in a rural area, what is it that's going to be the stick or carrot approach in that environment?
Yes, absolutely. So I think it still comes back to the fact that I think we're going to have to accept that there's going to be a proportion of people who are not going to be vaccinated. However, you know, how do we reach the largest possible numbers of people to be vaccinated? That will still remain a challenge for us, yes.
Do you think that people should be vaccinated before flying?
I think regardless of your activity, I think people should be vaccinated, yes.
Right, of course. But I'm saying, do you think that the airlines, and I'm talking about domestic flights, because internationally, I'd be surprised if you could go anywhere without the vaccine. But flying from Johannesburg to Cape Town, should they start requiring people to produce a vaccine certificate? They don't yet.
No, they don't. But I think it just depends on the guidance. And again, coming back to your point about, you know, what you do under those circumstances, you know, is it really clear that if you were to be challenged that you're on good grounds, in other words, that you have taken the necessary steps to protect all passengers by having a mandate that anyone who enters this particular area needs to be vaccinated.
I certainly would be more inclined to book, if I'm looking at a range of options for a flight from Johannesburg to Cape Town, and one of those airlines required a vaccination certificate, I would certainly be more inclined to book on that. It would make a difference to me. 34519 or 061-895-1019. If there was price parity and you had an option, would it make a difference to you if that airline required people to vaccinate? Would you be more inclined to fly with them? I'm interested to hear. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Professor?
Yes, I think that is likely, but I think, Howard, again, I think we should try and have a uniform approach, you know, because particular airlines will say, oh, well, I'm not going to have a mandate because that will attract at least, you know, people who don't want to be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, I think you need to have some standardization at least, in order that, you don't create loopholes. In other words, I think it's got to be clear that for this particular activity, everybody needs to be vaccinated.
Mm. So does that come from each industry or does that come from government?
I think it's primarily from government in terms of outlining this particular policy. And I understand that they are working around creating a guidance or a policy. And I think that will then definitely influence how they, you know, the industries will then respond. I mean, some industries are already responding already around that. As you saw, the university, I think, WITS announced its particular mandates already. So those are already starting to be in place. But I think that guidance from government, I think, will certainly be in the spur as well.
Professor Adrian Puren, we do need to leave it there. It is 8:59. Thank you, as always. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.